Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. Down to that lovest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line to what we now call Fort Benning, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches in North Georgia and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio audience. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world, going to the World Wide Web, watching us live stream every single day on YouTube, on X, on Facebook, on Rumble, and oh, by the way, on our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all y'all podcasters, too, thank you for listening after the fact. Listen, bottom line is this. If you guys weren't out there, it wouldn't be worth doing. We appreciate you. And so several times a show, I just try to point out how much we love this audience. So thank you very much. I gotta tell you, just almost laughable. Remember Baghdad Bob? It's like watching that. But the Ayatollah just appeared from his hole, and he gave a press or gave a recorded statement in which he made sure that the world knew that Iran had put a hard slap to the face of the United States. What? I guess in part he's saying that for his people, who have to watch nothing but state-run media.
In part.
It's true. Yeah, you're right. Why'd I even say in part?
That is the sole purpose.
That is the only purpose. There's nothing about that was believable outside the borders. And I got news. I'm going to bet that a large part of his population doesn't buy it anyway. They are just... Oh, my gosh. We'll talk more about that as time goes. John from Huntsville checking in. He says, Phil's spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear that there are some crazy news stations out there saying the U.S. attacks on Iran's nuclear facilities were not successful? I have heard that. You know what? And here's the thing. He said, by the way, your Braves lost to the Mets. So they're never going to lose again until they do.
Well, now we're never going to win again. The season's over.
Wait, is the season over?
Yep, now it is.
So they're out of the running now completely. They're done. They're cooked. There's no more.
Until we win again.
Until we win again. Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha. JP on sports tomorrow. We'll find out for sure whether they're going to win or lose. What was I about to say? Oh yeah, but the thing about hang on. Use your words, Phil. Earlier today, I think it was in our staff meeting, I mentioned the fact that Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense Hegseth, had a press conference this morning, and he excoriated the press. He said, "You know, the reality is, you guys hate Trump so much." You can't celebrate our military because you're too busy hating Trump. You love the idea that the mission wasn't what we believe it was. He said, we believe it was highly successful. We dropped 14 bunker buster, I'm paraphrasing here, but he dropped 14 bunker buster bombs on target as part of a 37-hour round trip, not to include all the other 100-plus, assets that flew the missions and refueled and did all the things. And then the naval assets that launched Tomahawks and everything was on point. And all you can do is go, well, we don't know if it was successful as much as he says it was. And he pointed out, he said, why don't you do a story about what it takes to be a B-2 pilot? Why don't you do a story about something that, you know, the American public might look at and go, wow, we have something to be proud of. You're so busy hating Trump. And I agree with that. Now, I get it. That would be a puff piece. But guess what? They do puff pieces all the time. They do they're called human interest stories. And sometimes those human interest stories mean more than these so-called news stories that they put out. So as much as they want to take a leaked intel report that was considered to be low in reliability, and it was only one part of the overall defense analysis or intelligence analysis, and leak that out, okay, run with it if you want to. But don't forget there was more involved. And don't do it in such a way that you denigrate the service members who did an amazing job. And so at least balance it out. At least go say, you know what, we don't believe Trump, but you know what, those pilots are just, man, those are the cats meow. We're going to go ahead and check them out and see what it takes to be a B-2 pilot. Because I got news, it takes a lot to be a B-2 pilot. Although to hear Butters talk today, the fighter guys have a lot going on too. So, just saying. All right, that was a mini rant. I get credit for a mini rant. Danny from Madison gives me a follow-up from yesterday. Says, hey, Colonel, what are your thoughts on the terror secretary Trump picked up? Okay, brother, you asked me that yesterday, I think. And
it wasn't him, it was somebody else. But
no, yeah. It was. If you scroll up, it's in the same text string.
Oh, it is. Wow, I'll stand corrected.
So Danny, I don't know what to think about him. 22 years old, and he's got a position in the Department of Homeland Security or some other. I don't know. I don't know anything about him, so I can't answer the question, but it's not on topic, so thank you very much. Dustin from Hazel Green sends me a meme. What did you send me, pray tell? What are we looking at there? It's a picture of somebody playing drums. Do we know what that is? JP, are you looking at it? Who we got here?
Okay. I don't know.
Thanks, man. Dustin, appreciate you. John from Harvest says, Iran had a big victory over the U.S. They destroyed 14 expensive bunker buster bombs with their nuclear program. Yes. Loved it. And y'all said love the monologue. Thanks, John. Jeff from Indiana says, in Nashville, Indiana, promoting Right Side Radio. Oh, he's there wearing his Right Side Ruffian shirt. There you go. Appreciate you, man. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your day. All right, listen, we got a lot to talk about, and I'm going to kick it off by talking about NATO. All right, I'm an old dude. Sitting in the studio right now, I'm the oldest dude in the room, which is usually the case.
By far.
You can just stay out of this right now. Thank you very much. But I still have my hair, so there's that. but all that to say, I am a product of the Cold War era, all right? I'm a kid who remembers what it was like to have, talk about, what do you do in a nuclear catastrophe? And do you have to get under your desk at school? Does that really stop anything? I can still remember my dad being in the military through the Cold War era and the talk about the Soviet Union coming through the Fulda Gap in Germany and all the things it would take. I remember going to West Berlin, when it was a walled-in enclave of Western society in the middle of East Germany, the communist bloc country. And standing at the wall at Checkpoint Charlie, and actually touching the Berlin Wall, and standing up on a viewing stand so you could see over it from the western side, and everything on the eastern side looked like just like a black and white movie, and then I could turn around and look back at West Berlin, and it was like vibrant and full of color. It was like those scenes from Wizard of Oz, where it went from black and white to suddenly in Technicolor. All that to say, I remember the Cold War era, and that's where NATO sprang up. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is designed to be a bulwark, an alliance against the former Soviet Union. And there are some who have wondered, why do we still have NATO when the Soviets are now gone? Well, the world didn't become peaceful. It's just that one of the great pariahs on the world stage lost its mojo for a while. Still really has. The Soviet Union is not what it used to be, but the Soviet Union is now Russia, and Russia is led by a nut job named Putin, and they have lots of nukes. And Putin proved in the last few years, regardless of how you feel about the war in Ukraine right now, it doesn't matter in terms of whether or not Putin is an aggressor. He is. In 2014... Vladimir Putin decided he wanted the Crimean Peninsula, so we just took it, just annexed it. And then you kind of look around and you go, oh, wait a minute, what's happening in Syria? Well, Russia decided it wanted a warm water port, so it propped up the Assad regime. And I realize there's problems with Syria now, but what they did was they propped up a terror organization known as the Assad regime in order to gain a warm water port. It is always as if Russia is determined to be on the opposite side of wherever we are. That being said, the need for NATO never went away. And it proved itself in terms of its requirements, in terms of the need for it, more so just a few years ago when Russia invaded Ukraine proper. And that war right now is ongoing. And if you looked at a map, it would be almost as if Georgia was fighting Alabama. And just past that was Mississippi, and everybody's standing there going, what's happening over there? It's that close. Poland is sitting on the border of Ukraine wanting to make sure that the Russians don't come any closer. P- Poland doesn't want to go back to the days of being, you know, part of Mother Russia. They don't want that at all. They're done with that. They had that moment, and there ain't going back. So NATO still exists. And NATO is a viable and important piece of world security. But the Trump administration has determined that NATO can't keep doing what it's been doing, which is basically just sitting back and going, the United States will be there for us. The United States will be there for us. You've got the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Well, guess what? We're not in the North Atlantic. We're on the other side. But we are the leaders of NATO. And we're one of the chief funders of NATO. And we're the ones that all the NATO countries rely on. And I get that. We're the leader on the world stage. But at some point, others got to start picking up their slack. And so what just happened this week is what I'm calling the NATO reboot. NATO 2.0. The Trump administration really brought something to a new level that no one thought was possible. People are watching right now what's happening with Donald Trump being in office. And I'm going to tell you right now, the press can say what they want about whether he dropped enough bunker buster bombs on. But you know what? No one can deny the fact that the world events right now are being shaped by the United States as a leader on the world stage, NATO being one of the key examples. I'll tell you more about it after this break. We'll take that break right now. We'll come right back, and I'm going to tell you what just happened with NATO spending and why that's important. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. By the way, I heard somebody last night on TV say something that I say on the show all the time. All that truth you can put on a bumper sticker. I was like, wait a minute, that's my line. You can't use that.
Who said that?
I don't know. It was on a sitcom or something.
Oh, sitcom.
I was like, wow. Okay.
Sue anyway, the sitcom.
Just, you know... Maybe some money in that.
Yeah.
all right, so I'm talking about NATO, right? NATO 2.0, the NATO reboot. So this has been very interesting. So NATO for years has struggled with other nations within NATO pulling what I would call a pro rata share of the load. Now, the way this works is, okay, you can't possibly look at it and go, well, you know, Estonia, pick one of the Baltic states, you know, or pick Poland. Poland's got a big economy. Poland's actually pretty, or Germany. None of them have an economy the size of the United States. So them putting in the exact same amount of money as us may or may not be realistic. But what they can do is put in a percentage of their GDP. And that's what everybody decided on. So when Trump was in office the first time, he made it very clear. He is tired of the United States doing everything for NATO and pulling way beyond the pro rata share of any other participating nation. Now, NATO's important. He wasn't denigrating it, but he was saying he's tired of it. He's tired of the way it is. In fact, there were several times when Trump, you know, in classic Trump fashion, he kind of put everybody on edge. And that's what he does. That's part of his art of the deal, is he puts everybody on edge. Hey, you don't know what I'm going to do here, so I'm going to say this. And everybody went, oh my gosh, he's talking about doing away with NATO. I think especially with the fact that Russia invaded Ukraine, NATO is, it's got life in it. It's got more life in it than ever. In Trump's first administration, he encouraged everybody to up their spending to roughly, I think it was 2.5% of their GDP. Not everybody even made that. You've got some economies that are really struggling. Spain is not doing great. Spain is kind of limping along right now. Its economy is far too socialist and is doing too many things wrong. They rely on, anyway, the bottom line is this. Spain ain't coming along the same way as everybody else. But the NATO alliance this week agreed to increase their defense spending all the way to 5% of GDP for every nation by the year 2035. That is huge, y'all. I can't even begin to tell you how huge that is. You know what that means? 5% GDP across the board. And oh, by the way, they're going to ask that everybody have to submit annual plans. Like, okay, how are you doing on that? Everybody's pushing towards 5%, right? Where are you at? Where are you at? Now, it's 3.5% on pure defense spending. Because what they want is to know that everybody is prepared to be a player should there be a NATO crisis. That everybody's going to have some ability, based upon their size and scope, to actually defend or to protect or to intervene in some way meaningfully, without just like rolling over and going, sorry, not our fight. 3.5% of GDP has to be spent now on pure defense spending. The other 1.5% to make up the total 5 has to be on what they call defense-related critical infrastructure. Things like civil preparedness, resilience, cybersecurity, other things that, you know, help to like basically innovation and research, acquisition of new weapon systems that are in the mix in the procurement process. All that to say, 5%, and they agreed to it. The only NATO nation that didn't agree, again, was Spain. And Spain pushed back because they're struggling to make the 2% mark. Okay. And Trump didn't have kind words to say for Spain. He felt like they should just go ahead and say, you know what, we're going to do it, but they wouldn't. Okay, fine. I would remind Spain what happened when the Nazis needed to practice getting ready for World War II. They went ahead and intervened in the Spanish Civil War and tried out all their weapon systems on Spain. Anyway, that being said, they also, as an alliance, reaffirmed their ironclad commitment, says here in the statement, to collective defense. Article 5. Article 5 of the NATO alliance actually says that an attack on one is an attack on all. And there's been some indication that Trump is, you know, less warm to that idea. In fact, at some point, where's this article I've got? I pulled this one off of CNBC. Phil, did you go to CNBC? I did. But on CNBC, the write-up says Trump had appeared to question NATO's central tenet of collective defense, Article 5, which states that an attack on one member is an attack on all. It says there's numerous definitions of Article 5. You know that, right? I'm committed to being their friends, though, you know. I've become friends with many of those leaders. I'm committed to helping them. But the NATO Secretary General, Mark Rutte, he said on Wednesday he trusted the president and that the U.S. was totally committed, and he said, you know, Article 5 is absolutely clear. At the same time, we always have said that we will never go into details on when Article 5 will be triggered. What he was saying was, we're not going to say what it is that triggers it. We're just going to say that an attack on one is still an attack on all. Why is that important? Because if that's not the case, you don't really have an alliance. Let's be honest. If all you have is a loose amalgam of people who see things sort of the same on most issues, that's not an alliance. That's a trade agreement. That's a diplomatic relations. An actual military alliance is when you say, I'm there for you. If they come across the line, I'm there for you. If they launch a strike, I'm there for you. If you need help, I'm there for you. This is a brand new day for NATO, just being honest. Every nation state, by the way, is going to have to submit what they call required annual plans. The only thing I don't see in here is what happens if they don't. I mean, is there a punitive measure? They have to go stand in the corner? I don't know what happens if they don't submit their required plans on how they're doing on moving towards the 5% GDP. I don't know. But it was said, though, of Trump that he emphasized that America is committed to NATO and expects European allies and Canada to contribute more, and that's exactly what we're going to see them doing, said Rutte. All right, that's a lot, but I want you to know this. Whereas there had been talk about whether NATO was still necessary, I think NATO is still absolutely necessary. Just me talking, I think NATO is absolutely still necessary. Yes, I'm a child of the Cold War, but I think it's beyond that. We may not be in the Cold War as we knew it back in the day, but we are certainly in an era in which the enemy on the horizon has proven their willingness and capability to some degree to be an aggressor and to go and take what they want as opposed to buying or negotiating for it. So yeah, NATO, still very viable. When I come back, I'll give you a little bit more on this and kind of wrap it up. Text me what you think, 833-687-4448. And I'm curious, anybody out there served in NATO headquarters or served in a NATO capacity Cold War era? I'd love to hear it. 833-687-4448. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and Just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a thankful Thursday. Thankful Thursday, because we are indeed thankful. I tell you what, you know what? I'm so thankful, I want to hear the thankful soundtrack again. Just hit me some thankful.
You got to be more thankful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
We thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell.
Have you said thank you once?
Thank you!
Thank you! You know what? By the way, I'm also very thankful for something. Today, I am every day, but today I will announce that I am more than thankful for my sweet wife, Charlene. Today is her birthday. I feel that I need to go ahead and take advantage of the fact that I actually own a microphone and I can tell the entire world. Today is the lovely Charlene's birthday, and it's a heck of a thing at my age. We're married to a 29-year-old. I am digging it.
I could have gotten a happy birthday, Charlene, sound effect to play. I forgot. I should have gotten one.
We'll say the thankful sound effect was hers.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, it was her idea to do Thankful Thursday, wasn't it? I believe
it may have been.
Yeah, I think it actually was her idea.
Okay, that was for you, babe. Yep, my trophy wife. She's going to kick me later for doing all that. Anyway, love you, honey. Happy birthday, and I look forward to taking you to dinner later tonight. All right, so I got to tell you guys one other thing before I'm going to get into a little bit of business here before we move forward. So most of y'all know that we have a website, rightsidemedia.org, because Right Side Radio is only one production of the overall company's efforts. Right Side Media is the name of the company. Rightsidemedia.org is the website, and on rightsidemedia.org, we got merchandise. So next week's 4th of July, I got to thinking, heck of a thing. What are we going to do about this? We had a staff meeting this morning. I believe it was Butters who actually brought it up. We need to put a promo code out there because we're celebrating the 4th of July. So, in a collaborative effort, we have, as of today, established a promo code for buying merch on the rightsidemedia.org merch store. Not the least of which are our flag t-shirts. Are you putting them up right now? Thank you very much, JP. For those of you who are streaming, is putting up a picture of the online stuff in the merch store to include our History of the American Flag t-shirts. But yeah, these are great t-shirts, by the way. They are the super comfy kind. And you just go there right now. Here's the promo code. You ready? The people on the radio right now are hearing this for the first time. Liberty. That's it. Next week's 4th of July. So the promo code Liberty gets you 10% off all the merchandise on the store. So you check it out. Now, Butters told me something. Butters, what did you do about those cork bottom mugs? You said that we can also get, like, they can get a, if they buy a shirt, they get a discount on the mug too?
Yeah, you go in and add a shirt in any of the shirts that are on there. Doesn't have to be the American flag shirt, but you throw a shirt in there and you're going to get a little extra discount on a cork bottom mug.
Well, hang on. Now you're just giving away stuff.
Well, you know.
I'm just kidding. So, all right. So they buy a shirt at a 10% discount already. Then they get an additional discount on a cork bottom mug if they want it. By the way, these cork bottom mugs are cool. They're very cool. They got that Right Side Media logo on there is engraved in the cup. It's not just, okay. Anyway, all that to say, shameless plug, the rightsidemedia.org store is up. Promo code for the next few days. Actually, it's going to be run through next week, right? Through 4th of July?
That's the plan. I've got it set through 4th of July.
Through 4th of July weekend. We got a brand new shipment of those Benshot glasses too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Benshot glasses that have the 308 round embedded in the side of the glass with the Right Side Media logo that says Bulletproof Influence on it. A brand new shipment of those just came in just in time for the promo code Liberty. So type in Liberty, 10% discount. If you buy a shirt, you can get a discount mug.
I wonder if we can get a bunker buster put inside of one of those glasses.
Oh, see, now this is getting big. I'm thinking right now we need a bunker buster something. We need a bunker buster t-shirt. Just call it the mother of all t-shirts. The MOAT. The mother of all t-shirts. I'm taking it.
Only available in 4X. Only.
All right. Yeah, that would be a bunker buster t-shirt, man. That'd be awesome. All right, let me wrap this up with this NATO thing. So NATO commitments to spending, commitments to each other, commitments to the idea of NATO. There's no talk right now, although I will say this. Zelensky was there. Ukraine is not a NATO member. They're not.
And he was wearing a suit.
He was wearing a suit. Kind of had the mafia thing going on. When he wear like a black suit with a black tie?
Yeah, it was all black. Yeah,
yeah. He was kind of had the kind of had the hitman thing going on. But yeah, Zelensky was there. Ukraine is not a member of NATO right now. Likely won't be. That would just inflame everything going on with Ukraine, with Ukraine and Russia. There are some who, if you are a, I don't want to say a Russian apologist, but if you are looking at why Russia believes they had to invade Ukraine, then the argument will be, well, they were worried about having NATO on their doorstep. NATO was already on their doorstep. NATO was already, the Baltic states are already on their doorstep. They just didn't want to see Ukraine get further away from them in terms of alliances. So they chose to invade. Ukraine is not going to be a member of NATO. If it happens, I'll be surprised. But right now, I will say this. They are not a member of NATO, but they are in what I would say is a friendly position with NATO because all of NATO is lined up against Russia. That being said, Zelensky was there. Now, one more thing I will point out. It's almost like laughable. Where'd it go? Hang on a second. I got a story missing. It was in my hands. I don't know where it went. But apparently, it's very important that Antony Blinken. Who? Antony Blinken. What? Antony Blinken. Do you remember him? Who was that guy? Was he the mortician that worked for the Biden administration? I think he was.
One of the worst Secretary of States we've ever had.
Awful. Absolutely awful. JP, I'd like for you to think back now. What was the accomplishment that you look back on and say, oh, Antony Blinken can put that on his resume going forward?
I will say there was that one time he went to Kiev to, you know, do something. I don't know, have talks of some sort. And while he's back home saying how, you know, trying to fight to give Ukraine every last penny of ours, he goes to a Kiev bar and plays guitar at the night.
I saw that.
At the night bars. Oh, you're really sending a great message about how dangerous, you know, Kiev is right now and all that. It's,
which I got to say, almost felt out of character, too. Not only did it feel like an unprofessional, why'd you do that, what's the point? I also look at it and go, aren't you the mortician who never smiles and talks in a monotone voice? And there you were jamming on stage with the guitars. Like, is that your alter ego? What's happening right now?
I mean, I don't have a problem if he does that, but like the messaging was like totally out of whack. It was a mess. So, yeah.
Well, former Biden Secretary of State Antony Blinken had to come out in the wake of the NATO alliance meeting and make a statement. Oh, good. He wanted to make sure the world understood that he knew things about Iran and, you know, that, hey, that wasn't necessary. These are his words. He says the strike on three of Iran. Why was he? Who's talking to him? This is on Fox News, but I don't even know what context he's speaking this in. Anyway, Antony Blinken condemned President Donald Trump's strikes on nuclear facilities in Iran on Tuesday, although he held out hope they had their intended effect. He shouldn't have done that, but, you know, as long as he did. That's the quote. You ready? Here's the quote. The strike on three of Iran's nuclear facilities by the United... Wait, I got to do it like him. The strike on three of Iran's nuclear facilities by the United States was unwise and unnecessary. Now that it's done, I very much hope it succeeded. That's his quote. It was the New York Times. He wrote a guest essay in the New York Times. So basically, them that couldn't get it done still want people to believe they got some mojo. And one of them is Antony Blinken, who is in JP's own words, the worst Secretary of State ever in the history of the United States. I think it's laughable because what's happening right now is on the world stage, people are reacting to what Trump does. And that's the way it should be. We should be in a world where the United States sort of dictates the manner and means by which foreign policy goes. We should not be dictated to. We're not that nation. And I'm not saying like dictate like dictatorships. What I'm saying is we're the ones providing the dictates. We're the ones saying, here's how it goes. We're the ones setting the tone. We're the ones leading from the front. No more of this Obama, Biden lead from the rear crap. No more of this hiring the mortician to be your Secretary of State, who in a feckless manner whispers into the microphone something unreal like, well, he shouldn't have done that about bombing Iran's facilities, but as long as he did, I hope it succeeded. What that tells me is you knew it needed to be done, but you were too busy shipping them pallets of cash, you feckless buffoon. No more guest essays from Antony Blinken. Don't you ever speak his name on the show again, JP. Just saying.
Gladly.
Okay.
But also, before we go to the break, remind me again who exactly he was talking to with that statement, Blinken.
New York Times.
New York Times. Yeah, with you know, people like Mike Pompeo going over to Ukraine and all, like, when is the Loken Act come into effect of these former, you know, people in office and former Secretary of State's, you know,
influencing foreign policy?
Yeah, like, there's got at some point, it's like, you know, you're undermining what the president's doing by saying stuff like this.
Point taken. Take me to a break while you're at it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come back and get some text messages. You guys are some texting machines. Text me what you're thinking. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Promo code Liberty on the merch shop at rightsidemedia.org.